So I think what we're going to be looking at are reminders for us. And through that, our focus should be on Jesus, his power and his love, and what he has done. This is his first ever miracle, a sign pointing to who he is. And later in his Gospel, John says this: Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So as we look at this passage, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll help us to see this miracle, to understand who Jesus is, to believe in his name, and to have life by faith. We pray that by your Spirit you would speak to our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Got a pointer here, I'm not sure if it's working. It is working. Jesus' presence at this wedding feast is almost incidental. He's there as a guest, almost in the background, along with some of his disciples and his mother. But it does show us that Jesus is in favour of marriage. And the prayer book says this: it is an honourable estate instituted of God in the time of man's innocency, signifying unto us the mystical union that is betwixt Christ and his church. The commentary I looked at said this: that society is never in a healthy condition, and true religion never flourishes in that land where the marriage tie is lightly esteemed. Some people take as a guide to their behaviour and their thoughts, what would Jesus do? And we can see by this that he is in favour of marriage, and therefore things that strengthen marriage and married life are good. So let's continue to pray for couples getting married, for couples and for families, that family life would be strengthened and that Jesus would be at the centre of them as he is here in this wedding. So as you look at verses 1 to 3 and verse 4, I wonder if you think there was a real need for this miracle. Was it really necessary? Just think back to when Jesus was fasting in the wilderness and he was tempted, turn these stones into bread. He didn't do that for something that was just for himself. And just think about when he was growing up in his family, if they ran out of anything, instead of going to the shops, would they say, turn to Jesus and say, could you produce something for us? No, he didn't. But this is his very first miracle. Now, Mary had never seen anything, any evidence of Jesus producing miracles, yet she knew he was special and was capable of doing something to help. I'm not sure what Jesus means when he says to her in verse 4, why do you involve me? My time has not yet come. I think it's something about not being dictated to about what he should do or when he should do things. It's not for people to say. He worked to his Heavenly Father's timetable. So, for instance, after the resurrection, when his disciples asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But despite all that, Mary simply says, do whatever he says. Do whatever he tells you. Don't you think that this is a very low-key miracle? Jesus is nearby when it all happens, and the servants do all the work, filling the jars and then drawing some out to take to the master of the banquet. It's unspectacular. I wonder if you remember when Naaman went to Elisha to be healed of leprosy. Elisha didn't even come out to see him. He sent a messenger to say to him, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. But there's nothing like that happening here. No praying over or hand waving. It's just straightforward. It is so. It's not magic, it's a miracle. It's kind of ordinary, as well as being extraordinary, all in one. So why was this miracle necessary? These wedding feasts often took several days. And if it hadn't happened, I think there would just have been some embarrassment that they had run out of wine. I've often been embarrassed by my own shortcomings. I remember once that we invited a couple for Sunday lunch, and when it came to it, we found that the chicken we had gone off. And all we had left was sausages. So that's what we had. But this miracle was really gracious. And just look at the quantity of wine involved. Quantity and quality. Bought some trucks with me. One of those holds about 40 litres. So three of them together, 120 litres. That's equivalent to one of the stone jars. 6 stone jars. We're talking something like 540 to 816 litres of wine. That's, I think, is an incredible amount of wine. Really gracious provision. So we're talking a real quantity of wine as well as the quality of the wine. To me, this speaks of the grace of God. Generous, overflowing, glorious, and of the highest quality. Enough and to spare. We would say that grace is undeserved, wouldn't we? And remember when Jesus fed the 5,000, there were 12 baskets left over. There's always enough when Jesus is involved. So over 800 litres, what fantastic, gracious provision. The next thing to think about is to do whatever he tells you, just as Mary told the servants there. If you were in a children's group or scramblers, you might make one of these with the stone jars, with do whatever he tells you on it. Perhaps you've done that previously in Sunday schools yourselves. And perhaps we would do very well to make this a rule for our lives, that whatever Jesus tells us we should do, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus should be Lord of our lives and wants the best for us, and he will make the most of what we have to offer. He fills us with his Spirit and equips us to serve him and our neighbour. We should be so full of the Spirit that like one of these things, it was spilling over, and there's enough for anyone who needs refreshment. Refreshment for others. And then the best is saved till now. This is a comment made by the master of the banquet to describe the quality of the wine. It is narrative, it's telling us what's happening, but we can take it as a comment on the Christian life as well, that the quality of our lives is divine, filled with love and joy and peace, even among the troubles of day-to-day life, looking towards the eternal life to come, to an even greater wedding feast, the marriage feast of the Lamb. This is why Jesus came. And our response to this should be just the same as his disciples. In verse 11, Jesus revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Seeing this miracle should show to us that Jesus is the Creator, the Messiah, that he can speak, and it is so, that he's got the God-given love and power to give life to us and to save us from perishing, so that we can believe and trust and put our faith in him. There was enough going on for his disciples to believe. Is there enough here for us to put our faith in him, to have life in his name?